I know that people have different ideas within the family of Christians about evil and the personification of evil and Satan and devils and demons and angels and all that. However, when I was starting to look at this, I like anybody, any person today, looked to the internet and AI and said, what's out there? You know, and the question I asked is, who are the enemies of Jesus? Had a pretty good idea. And I thought, oh, yeah, Satan was listed on this list of things. And I thought, yeah, because, you know, Paul had a quote, and I'm going to share it with you in a minute, but that said that, you know, that our enemies are spiritual, not of this world. And I thought, all right. So I included Satan in this. If you want to plumb the depths of the personification of evil in Satan or the devil, come to the Wednesday night study. That's all I can say. We'll spend more time then. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I am always amazed at the marvels of technologies that have become part of our daily living, particularly computers and cell phones, which is really just a handheld computer. With the World Wide Web as another fact of our daily living, we are literally we have the world at our fingertips in terms of communication and commerce and entertainment. And while the web has brought us ease of communication, it also has shouldered us with the burden of distraction. You can't read an online article, for example, without being bombarded with ads or perhaps even worse, temptations to click on yet another article that may take you down a rabbit trail that you never intended to follow. Somebody say amen. And if you're looking to buy something on either your phone or your computer, you're not only bombarded with literally thousands of options, but when you turn on that secondary device, those options have followed you. It's just creepy to look up for something on your phone, and when you get your laptop open and turn it on, there's ads or articles on what you were looking for on your phone. It's creepy. It's just creepy. Author and PhD in data science, Brian Gardner, informs us that savvy internet users call this clickbait. These headlines usually just end up being a huge waste of time. You'll be outraged at how easy it is to get you to click on this headline or that ad. And this should be familiar to most of us, whether we use the internet daily or just every once in a while. The term clickbait was coined 2 decades ago by a journalist by the name of Jay Geiger. Clickbait refers to any ad or link with a shocking or salacious or teasing headline and or photo designed to pique your curiosity and suck you in. These headlines usually don't deliver what it offers, and your click usually results in a bevy of more ads and useless information. And you know these type of headlines, right? Like you won't believe Bad Bunny's deepest secrets. Right? And how about what's the cast of Blue Bloods is doing now is unbelievable. Or 10 things you didn't know about Olympic skier Michaela Schifrin. Well, I want to click on that and see that. But don't look for them because like the internet, I made those up all by myself. And this kind of baiting isn't new, is it? I'm not proud of the fact that I stood in a grocery store line and bought a tabloid news rag because it had an article titled Shocking News About Flip Wilson's Arrest. That will tell you how old that story was. It turned out that Wilson wasn't really arrested but only stopped for speeding on his way back to the L.A. area after a gig in Las Vegas. But talking about Flip Wilson, that outrageous comic from the 70s and into the 80s, some would remember his alter ego, Geraldine, the sassy and liberated Southern woman who was always flirting yet faithful to her always unseen boyfriend, Killer. And Geraldine Jones was played by Flip Wilson in drag, and those comedy bits were never a drag. They were funny and edgy for the time. And when Geraldine was accused of being of an indiscretion and asked, why did you do that? You know what she said, right? The devil made me do it. And that brings us, that's a long introduction to say, and that brings us to the one who challenged Jesus early in his public ministry after being baptized by John the Baptist, the devil. The Apostle Paul wrote to the people of Ephesus, "For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Jesus' first enemy, the devil, tells us that Jesus' first confrontation following his baptism was spiritual. And Jesus was led into that spiritual battle with the devil by none other than the Holy Spirit. Jesus' temptation in the wilderness by the devil underscores the spiritual battle he engaged in. And when we read about Jesus being led into the wilderness by God's Spirit, I believe we can assume that Jesus is seeking solitude to sort out the incredible affirmation that he received during his baptism. He was probably just there to be alone and to contemplate the gravity and the meaning and direction for his ministry and his mission. And it turns out that the devil himself is a little bit of a master of the clickbait. He's always trying to get people distracted from what really matters. He doesn't deliver on what he promises, and he plays havoc with people who are driven by emotion rather than faith. Biblically speaking, there's no greater example of how this clickbait strategy works than this story of temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. And the way Matthew tells his story, the way that he shares his gospel, is very Jewish in its background. There are echoes of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, all the way through the Gospel. And here in chapter 4, we hear it very, very clearly. Jesus goes into the desert for 40 days, and that echoes the 40 years that the Israelites spent wandering in the desert before entering into the Promised Land. Those 40 days is an even better reminder of the 40 days Moses spent on Mount Sinai, to be with God, to receive God's commandments. In spite of the fact that God was present with them in the cloud and a fire in the tabernacle with the Israelites, they still wrestled with what it meant to be God's people and gave in to temptation often. The very name for God's people, Israel, means one who wrestles with God. Matthew sets the scene of Jesus' own temptations in the wilderness using this imagery, and the temptations of Jesus reflect the temptations of Israel in the desert. And the devil shows up to offer Jesus some salacious shortcuts for his ministry so that people would know him better, get to know him greater, which will still reflect the mission of Israel. And he begins each of those temptations with, "If you are the Son of God." The question is whether or not Jesus will click on any of the devil's bait. So let's consider three clickbait headlines that in Jesus' time in the wilderness with the devil might have generated. I did not make up these headlines, but rather they come from the writers, the creative minds of Homiletics magazine. And the first headline is, "Making Bread Out of Stones, the Shocking Dietary Revolution That Will Change Your Life." The devil's first piece of clickbait is to get Jesus to use his power to transform stones into bread. Now, he was in the wilderness for 40 days, and what was he doing? Praying and fasting. Yeah, you got it. You know, and this must have been a real temptation for someone who was famished and after 40 days of food. But it's an even bigger temptation when it is put into that context. Many Jews in Jesus' day were hoping for a new exodus out of their practical slavery under Roman occupation. They were looking for a Messiah who looked a lot like the new version of Moses, complete with God's provision of manna in heaven. Turning stones into bread would be a sure sign for the people that the Messiah that they were looking for had finally arrived. Satan wants Jesus to conform to the people's expectations, what they're familiar with, bread in the wilderness. Jesus understood, however, that this clickbait temptation was about focusing on the product rather than the source, just like the Israelites. The Israelites wandering in the desert eventually got sick of eating manna day in and day out. And they pined to go back to Egypt where they had 3 square meals a day, and they, even though they were in slavery. And they ignored the fact that God was the one keeping them alive and leading them through to the promised land. Bread alone wasn't enough to keep the people satisfied after all. And Jesus responded to the devil by quoting Moses' own message to his people. Quote, God humbled you by letting you hunger, then feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order that you may understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus was not dependent on his own ability to provide for himself and his people, but on God's provision and God's promises. He knew that the devil's temptation was to produce a product rather than rely on the ultimate source from whom every good thing comes. Both he and his people needed more than a steady diet of bread. They needed a steady diet of God and the word that sustains them for the long haul. That's the reason Jesus will later tell his disciples to pray for their daily bread and not for bread for a lifetime. We feed on the Word of God, the bread of life, and we are on a diet that brings to us healthy and health and wholeness for an eternity. The second headline reads, Man jumps from incredible height with no parachute. You won't believe what happens next. The devil's second clickbait temptation was to get a kind of YouTube video of Jesus jumping off the pinnacle of the temple into the Kidron Valley with no net and no chute. And the fall would have meant certain death, but the devil was certain that Jesus would land unscathed. And such a video would have gone viral instantly and ensured Jesus' celebrity status among all the people, not just that scraggly bunch of disciples and hanger-ons who followed him on a daily basis. The devil even tries to bait Jesus by using scripture, quoting Psalm 91. To pump up the fact that God would provide an angelic safety net for the jump. Quote, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. And this is classic. The devil uses this scripture out of context. Psalm 91 says that God's protection is for circumstances that befall his people and not for those who stupidly test God by taking foolish risks, especially those risks which are designed to impress others. Jesus cites Deuteronomy 6:16, which refers to Israel's testing of God in the wilderness by complaining about their lack of water. And he says, do not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massah. Jesus says this right to the devil's face. You want me to jump off this pinnacle? Not going to happen. Scripture says we are not to test our God. The lesson here is we don't tempt God. We don't test God. We don't make our plans and then expect God to bless them. We don't bend scripture to suit our purposes, a huge temptation with respect to the political issues of our day, and to be clear, from both sides of the political spectrum. We don't ask God to help us when we're acting foolish. I was a youth pastor for years, and I was working with a youth group in a former church, and I remember during prayer time, this youth says to me, I want to pray for my friend so she doesn't get pregnant. I'm old. I'm shocked by the sexual mores of our subsequent generations. But I said, how about we pray that she not have sex? And she looked at me like I had 3 heads. But you get the point, right? You don't act foolish and then ask God to save you from your own foolishness. That's testing God. Just wanted to make that clear. The third clickbait headline is, the secret to world domination, it's easier than you think. First, all of the kingdoms of the world have never really belonged to the devil, but his final offer is to make Jesus the kind of ruler the devil could live with, one that would succumb and worship him. That kind of ruler is the kind of political and military leader the world normally expects, one who exercises power to keep everything in line without needing God's help to do so. The devil offers Jesus the world as it is and as everyone expects it to be. All he needs is to fall down and worship the devil, and his way of owning and manipulating human hearts will appear. But Jesus is not interested in the world as it is and how everyone expects it to be. He will come out of the wilderness preaching the reign and rule of God on the earth. It's quite a different governing system than the devil's rule. The devil's kingdom is a kingdom of darkness, where God's kingdom is a kingdom of light. Colossians 1 tells us, giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the kingdom of the light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. I like that. He brings us into that kingdom of the Son he loves. Last week, I wrapped up our last series of messages about attitudes that are paintbrushes that colors our world and is applicable to situations in our lives. And I shared with you that the primary teaching of God throughout our scripture is the kingdom of God. These headlines we've considered and Jesus' response to them indicate the type of kingdom that we're talking about. The devil's kingdom is all about domineering authority, and God's kingdom is about servanthood. The devil's kingdom is about coercion and violence and bondage, but God's kingdom is about peace and wholeness. The devil's kingdom is about the pleasure principle, where God's kingdom is about holiness and right living. The devil's kingdom is based on lies and deception. God's kingdom is about the truth, which sets us free. John's gospel tells us, "You are from your father, the devil, and you choose to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." The devil's kingdom is a culture of death. God's kingdom is a culture of life. Jesus said that it is the poor in spirit, the mourners, the meek, the merciful, the peacemakers, and the persecuted who will inherit his kingdom. Those who worship the Lord their God and serve only him. And when we're tempted to click on things that promote the world as the devil wants us, Jesus reminds us to turn our attention to the reality of the kingdom and not the devil's fantasy world. Jesus already rules his kingdom and calls us to join him in making this kingdom a reality on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for it every service and every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus refuses to be drawn into the devil's clickbait. Interestingly, the devil rebuffed three times, then leaves Jesus alone, perhaps returning to Dante's ninth circle of hell. Who knows, where he might feel more at home. In any event, as we go about our daily lives, and especially in this season of Lent, there are plenty of pop-up temptations that will cross our paths and our screens every day. Jesus invites us to turn our attention to the wilderness, to the Scripture, and to Christ's wisdom. They're the only clickbait or ads or invitations that really deliver. And that's the word of God for the people of God today here at Central Church. In the name of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, amen.